What's up, everybody? It's your host, Austin T. Gully here. Before we hop into today's episode, we just wanted to let you know that we do talk about some heavy topics, including sexual assault and suicide. We know that this can be triggering for some people, and we want to let you know that you are not alone. If you or someone you know needs help, you can always reach out to the suicide hotline at 988 or the sexual assault hotline at 1-800-656-4673. And just remember that you are not alone and it is okay to ask for help. We love you guys and we hope you enjoy this episode. Thanks.
What drives you? What inspires you? Let's ignite your why.
Welcome back to Ignite Your Why podcast. I'm your host, Austin T. Gully, and we're here to have genuine conversations with authentic people to help amplify their voice and figure out what ignites their why. Today's guest is from Memphis, Tennessee, and she was raised in Columbus, Ohio. She's an alumnus of the University of Cincinnati, where she studied philosophy with a minor in psychology. She spent multiple years in the tech industry and as a social media content creator, and I'm so excited to have this conversation today. So let's give a warm welcome to Deja Franklin. Deja, how are you doing today?
I'm doing so good. Gucci down to the socks, always feeling blessed and highly favored, you know? What about you?
I never heard nothing like that, but I'm feeling it. Today's been a very, very long day, and I think it is really messing with me that it was 30 degrees and snowing yesterday, and it feels amazing outside today. So
yeah. It's like 54. Ohio,
get it together. Like, I saw a status on Facebook. It says, Spring, I need you to fight back. Like, whatever it is, fight back, because we need you.
No, for real. Shake back, gangsta. Shake back, because there's no way that you're allowing the winter to still beat you like this. It is the middle of March. My car note has already been paid.
Same.
Car note is on the 20th. Okay, like, we are
mine's
passing.
On the 19th.
Look at us. Okay, please.
I hate it, though. I'm like, I gotta pay this shit. Ugh.
No, I mean, for real.
Hurt my pockets.
Yeah, and I'm like, I just have to, like, you know, cruise, use this, like, you know, go down the street, woo. This is not it. Like, I did not want $400. Y'all want $400 for me every month?
Mine ain't that much.
Yeah, exactly. Mine is $404. I was like, oh, my God.
Mine is cheaper, but it's above $300, but I ain't gonna complain.
that's still $300. You're not that far away from $400. You're probably what, $50 away?
Nah. I'm like low 300s. Yeah.
I'm jealous.
You should be. I'm kidding.
Oh, you're fucked up. Okay. Do you know where you're not going? Okay. I'm not playing with you.
I'm just saying. I worked for that.
I see. Now. I'll give you that. You probably put down a down payment. I put down no down payment. So that
I did not. I leased my car for 3 years. And then as the lease was ending, instead of renewing a new lease, I just bought it. Yeah. I learned that from Tom Hagger, so shout out to my mentor.
That is some secret sauce that I'm going to tap in with you right after this, because there's no way. Like, I need to get out of this. I'm over it.
We can have that conversation. Yeah. But let's just hop straight into this. So, Deja, what is your story?
An amazing question. So, story starts, like, in Memphis. I was born in Memphis with love and affection, but my parents split up prior to me being born. So my mom ended up being a single mom inside of Memphis until like I was about 4. I ended up moving to Columbus because she was like, I want you to have a better education. Also, because a lot of stuff that happens in the South, like kids in the South, they just be going missing. So that was something that she was like very, very passionate about. So a lot of my life has been surrounded around education, always making sure that, like, you know, you're taking yourself seriously. You got to work, like, you know, for example, 3 times as hard to get, like, you know, half as far type of mindset, which is like a very like valuable thing that I've experienced like over like the crux of me growing up, because I do have a different level of work ethic. However, like I do feel like in certain points in time, because like I didn't have both of my parents growing up, and I have a stepfather that had later came into the picture like when I was about it was all more so about work. It wasn't really about my emotions. So like a lot of my childhood has been like packaged in. I've been given the things that you need, but like not knowing how to use some of the tools, especially like when it comes to like interpersonal relations. Like I am blessed with the gift of gab. However, the problem is like utilizing those things correctly is like really hard. So, especially trying to tap into my emotions as like a woman and like having those things just stunted made me like really masculine, because I'm always trying to take care of myself. I'm trying to make sure that I'm handling my business and all these things. So those are things that like kind of like follow me through my childhood. But when I was 4 years old, I was like sexually assaulted by my cousin. So it was a lot of, and a lot of those things happened throughout the time of me growing up, including me being sexually assaulted by my stepfather, like when I was about from 14 to 17. So a lot of my relation, like when it, as it relates to men, was like really like messed up, because it was always about, what do people want out of you? Like, and always trying to find my own self-worth rather than trying to find my worth in other people. And I think that that was like something that I've learned throughout the time that I've been like kind of growing. So I went to therapy after my stepfather had passed from prostate cancer in 2017. Yeah, in 2017, he passed from prostate cancer, and I was devastated by it. But like a lot of things that I had repressed had basically essentially came up. So in December of that year, because I want to say he died in September of that year. Yeah, September 15th of that 2017. Yeah. No, 2018. And okay. I ended up getting the number 17 tattooed on me, because he died on the 17th of September. he was born on the 17th of September. I was 17 when he died, but also 17 marked like a point in time when I realized that I needed to start healing from all the things. So that's when I started going to therapy and really trying to mend those things within myself, considering like a lot of things were just kind of like left for me to do. And it's like no shade against my mom. Like I love my mom, but I think that you can only do what you know, and you know, really be there for somebody in the capacity that you can show up for them for. So that's actually the reason why I had gotten into like content creation. At first, like I saw like a whole bunch of people on YouTube. I love the YouTubers, okay? Listen, like it was me, Jackie Ina, what's his name? Bugatti Bees, like Dashi XP. Oh, I was in there. I loved it. And it was like it just inspired me so much to kind of see like how much joy that they were able to bring people, even just looking at myself, like in fostering those communities for people. And that's when I realized like I wanted to do those things, and I was 13. But the problem is like, you know, as you get into your teenage years, you're like, oh dude, that's so lame. You want to be a YouTuber?
The cringiness.
Yeah, like, you're so cringy.
I can definitely understand the whole like YouTube thing, because me and my brother, like we did a little bit of that in our teenage years. But first, I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for just being open and vulnerable, because I know it's not always easy to talk about sexual assault. Being a victim myself, it's definitely something that is not easy to talk about. So I commend you for that. It does take a lot of strength. And I think the thing that really resonated with me is just learning to heal from that is hard, especially when you suppress it for so long and you're just trying to kind of forget. And just hearing your story, I'm just like, inspired myself because it's something that I don't really talk about a lot. I've talked about it on this podcast before. And I talk about it with my therapist. Shout out to Rebecca.
Rebecca.
Right. But I think it shows a lot of strength and a lot of character. And as you're talking about your childhood, I kind of want to dive into that a little bit here.
Go ahead.
Because I want to know if you're familiar with emotional childhood neglect.
No.
So basically what emotional childhood neglect, I studied psychology in college as a minor as well. And I love psychology. But basically what this means is just as a child, your emotions were not tended to, right? Mm-hmm. And no knock to your parents, anything like that. It just means that your emotional needs were not met as a child. And it's kind of one of those things you were talking about is like your mom did everything she could for you. And we're not going to knock that. But I feel like parents can only do so much. And it's hard, especially when you're in situations where you feel like you can't truly trust the adult figures in your life. You know what I mean? And when you're in a situation that you were in, it's kind of like one of those things where you probably had to feel secluded, where you couldn't open up. And my question for you is just, as you've gotten older, how have you managed understanding that what someone else has done to you in the past is not what someone's going to do to you in the future? How have you been able to, I guess, trust people is what I'm getting at.
Yeah. That I think a lot of people ask me. So it's really funny that you asked me that question too. I think a lot of the times is like I just work out of love, honestly. Like I think that sometimes that I can be really dumb, or actually quotations marks dumb when it comes to it, like when it comes to loving other people. I just prioritize like those relationships with people. And when I was actually my freshman year of college, that was the last time that I had attempted to commit suicide. And essentially, like, I realized that it was because of the disconnect that I was having with people. It's the fact that I didn't have anybody that I could connect to. I wasn't like friends with anybody on campus. Oh, I might cry a little bit, but I like, you know, it's okay. Just like talking about it. But
it's okay. It is okay.
Yeah. But yeah, like I didn't have any friends on campus. Everybody in my dorm room hated me. My foot was broken for like my first like 3 months of college. I'm away from home. Nobody's caring for me. Like I have to depend on like my ex-boyfriend who's currently abusing me and trying to like hold a gun to my head and all this other stuff, threatening to kill me and shit. And it was just like, I didn't feel like I had anybody. I just felt like I was drowning. So, I had basically attempted to like, I overdosed on my medication, which was like, oxycodone. That's what it was. So, then one of my friends was like, I called him and I was like, hey, I'm just going to let you know, like, this is what I'm thinking about doing. And I really like, clearly like I'm calling you because I don't want to actually do this. So like knowing that, you know, he was there for me at that time, he just told me like, hey, just take one pill, get some food. And then like, if you don't feel better after you take that one pill, maybe you can go ahead and take the entire thing. I ended up passing out. Then I woke up. And then I was perfectly fine afterwards, but it was like a very like visceral experience, like realizing those things. And actually what was so wild about that day was it was such a normal day. Everything was fine. I was perfectly fine. I had no thoughts of doing it whatsoever. I just came home, went inside of my room, looked in the mirror and started screaming. And like, just like, cause I didn't recognize who was in the mirror. And that's when I think a lot of the, you know, do you want to work out of fear with people or do you want to work out of love with people? Because working out of fear can help you in some instances because, you know, you're really guarded. Nobody can penetrate you. It's a lot safer and all those other things. But like, is it really though? Because like, imagine the safety and the comfort of people that love you, that are consistently around you, that like show you those things. So like, I found a lot of family within my friends, and sometimes it hurts because of the fact of like, I have to stop talking to them. But because of like we fall out or things like that, but like still regardless, I have realized that you work in seasons. Everybody works in seasons. Okay. Mm-hmm. Sometimes I'm going to be in your life for a long season. Other times my season could be short. I could be here forever. I could be here to gone the next day, you know? And appreciating the times and the moments that you have with people and living in that moment and living in the present without thinking and projecting those other things that other people have done to you because they didn't do it to you. Like, why am I going to hold something against you that you didn't even do? You didn't do it. So like, why am I going to say like, oh, everybody hates me and they're going to treat me like this and they're going to weaponize whatever I tell them, and use it against me. And it's like, even if you did, like, you just
you're
look like a shitty person.
Facts. You're speaking, really? You're speaking straight facts.
Am I spitting?
I just had these conversations with someone the other day because literally I was having this conversation the other night with one of my friends because they were talking about something that they were going through. I'm not going to put their name out there because I'm not putting their business out there. But it's crazy because I said, like, some people are in your life for a season and they're taken out of your life for a reason. Like, there's always a purpose behind every single thing. And when you think about it, people come, people go. And when you're talking, I'm just thinking of the shit that my therapist always tells me because I put up a wall that blocks people from allowing to be in because of the trauma I've experienced and the hurt that I've experienced from people. But not every person is the same. And just because one person did it to me doesn't mean this next person is. And I'm denying myself and someone else of an opportunity to have a great friendship, to have a great relationship simply because of something that's happened in my past. Mm-hmm. And the next thing I want to kind of say here is just, again, thank you for being so open and so vulnerable, because I know when you get into those dark places, a lot of people don't understand, like, mental health is something that is hard to deal with. And you have those days where everything is great, everything is good. And then you have those moments where it's just like, fuck this, I can't do this anymore. And it's sometimes you have to lean on those people. And I'm glad that you had your friend, and I'm glad that you're still here, that we're able to have this conversation, because you have so much life and so much brightness about you. And the world is lucky to still have you. And like, suicide is a very difficult topic, especially because I've lost people to suicide. Even recently, lost a colleague to suicide, and it's been hard. It's been hard to deal with. And it's like one of those things where I kind of like bottle my emotions up because I'm not going to cry. But it's just when you deal with it and it hits close to home, you're just like, damn, it makes you think you always like what if? Like, what if I checked in more? Or what if I did this? Or what if I did that? And in reality, like, you don't know the demons people are fighting. And that's why I always tell people is just be kind, because you don't know, like, that smile or just like, hey, how are you doing today? Could be the highlight of their day. Like, I have a hoodie that I wear all the time. I'm surprised I'm not wearing it, but on the front it says, "You are enough." And on the back, it's the dear person behind me, the person in front of you thinks the world's a better place with you in it. And it's just,
that's gonna make me sob.
Like, I wear it all the time because you never truly know what people are going through. And I think it shows a lot of strength for you to be able to open up and be honest about the situations you've gone through, because I tell people all the time when they're on this podcast is you never know who you can be a survival guide for. And even though, like, you have tears now, it still shows the sign of strength, because if you can't be vulnerable and you can't show those emotions, you're not be able to show strength. And I just appreciate you just being able to open up, because I know it's not easy. And I know it's hard. And I appreciate it. So I just wanted to say that I'm very thankful we're able to have this conversation today.
Thank you. Of course, of course. Yeah. Like, and then, like, a lot on that vulnerability piece that you were gonna say, that you were talking about, because, like, I have, like, realized the strength in my emotions. And I think that a lot of people kind of, like, use it, as you said, like, as, like, a whole, like, you're not strong if you show emotion, if, like, somebody sees you cry or something else like that. And I've realized that, like, how are you going to weaponize the way that I feel? It's the way that I feel. Like, quite literally, like, I just feel like, because I feel like crying, I'm going to be way more open and honest with myself if I allow my emotions to flow. Like, versus me always trying to, like, bottle it up and not really feel it. I would
feel what you need to feel.
What you need to feel. Like, I promise you, like, you will explode every time. And I used to, like, my ex-girlfriend, for example, like, her and I, we would get into, like, arguments, whatever else like that. And I would, and I just remember there was this one time we were in this Chick-fil-A line, and it was, like, nothing, it was so insignificant what she said. And all of a sudden, I just start yelling at her, like, you just don't listen to anything that I say. You don't care. Like, you don't, like, I can't please you. And this really upsets me that I can't do that, because I pride myself on doing that as a partner, right? However, at the exact same time, like, I can't hold myself accountable to A, meeting all of your needs, and also, I'm not your fucking mom, okay? So, like, if you're going to get inside of this relationship, like, you actually need to, like, nut up and go to therapy, because you can't control your emotions. Mm-hmm. And I'm consistently attempting to communicate with you, communicate space. Like, hey, I need space. I actually can't do this. We're yelling at each other right now. I much prefer for us to, like, take some time. Let's pause and let's back up. And then, like, you know, we can come back and talk about it. But it would be, like, I would just try and leave, and she would just complain about the fact that you leave. You just always leave every single time. And it's like, yeah, do you want me to leave, or do you want me to, like, punch you dead in your shit? Like, what's like, what's the word?
Like you don't understand. Like, I'm understanding my emotions are being hijacked right now. And if we're having this conversation, it's not going to end well. So me removing myself from the situation is actually benefiting you. And I don't think people understand that. I have so many conversations about emotional intelligence and how important it is to understand and regulate your own emotions. And it's crazy how you're talking, but I don't know. Do you watch Love's Blind?
I have watched the first season. Yeah, that's it.
This last season, there's a one of the girls, her name's AD, and she's like, I'm such a fix-a-hoe. And a lot of the times, like, we as helpers and pleasers are wanting to, like, fix people, because that's just, it kind of diminishes our brokenness, if that makes sense. Because I feel like we don't want to deal with our brokenness. We want to help fix someone else.
Yeah.
So we don't have to worry about what we're going through, because I want to fix you. What are you going through? Tell me. Yeah. I need to know.
Let me know. Let me know so, like, I can give you the wisdom and advice that I need to give myself. Like, I really need to be talking into a mirror and talking to my damn self, because you know full and dang well that, like, those things that you're telling her, do you know what you need to do?
You should be doing the same thing.
You should be doing exactly the same exact thing. And look at you. You just look so goofy right now. Like, hey, and you
spin. I give great advice. Hey, I give great advice. But do I take my own advice? Hell no.
That wasn't the question
I don't know why. I don't know why, you know? Like, like, I don't know why I can't do, like, take my own advice. And I think it's just because, like, we're our biggest critics. We're always more self-critical on our own situations. That I might know what to do, but that shit's scary. I think that's the thing, is like the fear of the unknown and not knowing what's next. That scares the shit out of me, because I'm just like, oh, I don't know what's gonna happen. Which also is like a disservice to myself, because I remove myself from situations that could potentially take me to where I actually want to go. And I think that's the biggest thing, is just being able to live in the moment. And I think one thing you talked about in when you were talking about the situation with your ex-girlfriend is you had to take a pause. And I tell people, like, it's okay to pause. It's okay to sit in the feelings. My therapist tells me emotions are our friends. Whether I want it to be my friend or not.
Exactly.
But what people don't understand is we have the power to agree with whatever emotion we're feeling. We have the power to feel what we need to feel, whether that's 1 minute or five. We have that control.
Right.
But we don't realize it, because we get caught up and we're just like, oh, this shit's spiraling out of control. I don't know what to do.
Right. Hear me out. Because this is actually, like, the way that I learned how to, like, kind of regulate. I'm not perfect, but to regulate my emotions, duh. Of course not. I feel like I'm really close though. I'll go plan.
Girl, bye.
But yeah.
You're dismissed. I'm kidding.
Damn. All right, let me go ahead and... No, but I want to say, like, the best way that I do it is, like, the rule of three. So, like, 3 seconds, 3 minutes, 3 hours, 3 days, et cetera, et cetera. So you can do it by threes. You can do it by fives. You can do it by tens. I don't care. I personally do it by threes, though. So I always give power to my emotions or say something that will affect me if it's something that's going to affect me over the course of 3 days. So if it is something that I know that, like, okay, I don't even really care. I'm not even about to pick this fight with you. I'm not about to give you any of my emotional energy because it doesn't even matter. Like, quite literally in the next second, you're probably going to forget. In the next hour, you're probably going to forget, like, what we just argued about. So it doesn't even matter. You know what I'm saying? So once, like, I realized that I don't have control over everything else in the world, but the one thing I do have control over is whatever I do with my emotions and the way that I respond, I was like, cool. Guess what I will do? Exercise as much control over myself as I can. So I started, like, for example, I started working out. I started, like, breathing techniques. I started the whole, you know, 3 second thing because, like, I'm realizing that even though I can't control whatever life throws at me, what other people say to me, or the environments that I interact with, what I can do is always leave. And then what I can do is always not talk to you. Like, you don't, I think a lot of us think that we have to talk to certain people, and you do not need to talk to people. Like, even when it comes to family, like, love my mom, again, love my mom, but let her cross a boundary with me, but you won't talk to me for 3 weeks. Because you don't need to talk to me. 3 weeks to a month. Sometimes I'll be going like 3 months without talking to my mom. And like, as much as I want to talk to her, hear me, as much as I want to talk to her, because I love her. I love her so much. If I can't push that boundary or like protect that boundary with you, I'll let everybody else slide. I'm letting you slide. I can't let you slide and say like, oh yeah, I'm serious about my boundaries and I let my mom violate my boundaries. No, girl, you will be put on the same exact ice that I put that dude on and that I put that other girl on. Okay? Everybody can be put on ice. I don't care. Like,
blood. Deja is standing on business.
Deja is
standing on business.
Okay. Blood is not thicker than water. Okay. It is all about the people that are going to love you and show up for you every single time and celebrate you. If those people aren't doing those things, they do not deserve to be in your energy in the first place. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I almost got a tattoo in high school that said, blood makes you related, loyalty makes you family. Because. Just because we blood doesn't mean we're related, because you can treat me wrong and things of that nature. So I definitely hear what you're saying. And I think it's so important to have those boundaries and be able to stay stern to them. And it's not always the easiest, but you look like you do a damn good job at it. So I ain't gonna question you.
And you know what they said? Don't play with it. Don't play with it. Don't play with it. Come on, baby. Don't play with it. Okay. I'll play that. Okay. Like,
I feel again, you.
Again, like, you know, sometimes you just have to, like, you know, you got to check people. You got to check people on the way that they move, because, like, as much as I love you, and I love you, so that's actually the reason why I'm even placing the boundary with you, because I still want you in my life. Like, me placing boundaries does not equate me telling you that we don't need to talk in this way, like, at all. Like, it's not saying that I don't want to speak to you. It's saying that, hey, like, you know, when you do X, Y, and Z, this makes me feel this way. So if you can't talk to me without doing this, we aren't going to talk. So either you're going to respect me or we're not going to speak. And that's the end of, like, that's the business.
Period. When you're talking, I'm just thinking of one thing, like someone from middle school. She was the security guard in my middle school. She always say, like, check yourself before you wreck yourself.
Wreck yourself.
Right?
Okay. Okay. Okay, and that is always the energy.
And here I am. I'm here as a 27-year-old man, and I remember that from middle school. Check yourself before you wreck yourself. Mm-hmm. Point blank, period. Mm-hmm. But I kind of want to move on to the next segment here.
Okay, let's go.
It's the big chunk of the podcast. We talked about you doing social media content creating. So my question for you is just, what is it that truly inspires you? But more importantly, what is it that ignites your why?
I would say my inspiration mainly derives from the fact of, like, as I was saying, like, creating communities, and seeing, like, the type of community, that people can, thrive in. So, like, for instance, when I'm having a really bad day, like, I used to go watch, like, Dashi XP's Melina's Room. To this day, I watched that video when I was like 11 or 12. If you put that video still in front of me at 23 years old, I will still catch it. I don't care. It's hilarious, right? But, like, it fills me with so much joy. And that's, like, the gift that I wanted to give to other people. So, like, I remember, like, being on TikTok Live a couple of times, and I just remember specifically this one girl. I want to say her name is Destiny. I had, like, scrolled down, like, my TikTok timeline. I'm over here, like, you know, I liked her video, and I had saw that her mom had passed, and, you know, the video was kind of, like, getting some traction, some steam, whatever else like that. And I was like, oh, like, you know, hey, I'm really sorry. If there's anything that I can do, like, you know, to offer you, like, some solace, some support, just know I'm here for you. Like, let me know. So one day she ends up joining my TikTok Live, and I was like, hey, like, you know, like, what's going on? Like, how's your, like, how are you doing, like, with your mom? And da 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 da. And she's like, dude, like, I don't think you understand, like, how much you've helped me, like, when I'm going through, like, a lot of bad shit in my life. Like, I really come to your page and I laugh. Like, you know, I laugh and I think it's, like, you're so funny and you just make my day. And, like, as you can see, I'm about to almost, like, stop about it. Okay. Like, and she really just, like, even days that I think that, like, my page hasn't grown or I just feel like I'm, it's really pointless. Just, like, kind of going to where creating out of the fact of not only does it give people joy to consume it, it makes me happy doing it, you know, because more so I'm giving you that service of, like, hey, like, I'm here with you. It all sucks. Don't it suck? Don't it suck? At least we can laugh about this, hey, the fact that life be sucks.
Life be lifing.
So, like, guess what? Because life do be lifing, like, you know, why don't you laugh about it? Instead of taking shit so serious, why don't you laugh? Because, like, because
I want to take it serious.
Don't take that shit serious.
I'm kidding.
Exactly. Don't take that shit serious. I don't take none of that shit serious. It doesn't matter. I think
it's interesting that you do TikTok Live, because I was going live for, I did it for like 2 months on TikTok. And the community you build on TikTok is amazing. Like, I talk to people. It's weird because, like, I have friends solely from TikTok that I've never met.
Yeah.
But, like, we talk all the time, and, like, you get to know people, and it's just interacting with them and having conversations, and it's completely different. Like, when I went live, people are like, how do you do it? Yeah, I'm talking to a screen, but I'm also talking to other people. And I think that's the most beautiful thing, is, like, creating, like you said, creating a space for people to feel joy, happiness, and just kind of just vibe out. And that's kind of like the vibe I always had. It's like, I always wanted to spread positivity. I wanted you to come in and we can just have conversations and talk about what how's your day been, what you've been up to. Like, I'll show you my dog here and there, you know, things of that nature. But I don't think people understand the time and effort that goes into content creating and being a TikTok Live creator. So I do have a question. As a social media content creator, what advice would you give to someone who is looking to go into social media?
Don't listen to the people that are too afraid to do it. Because the people that are too afraid to do it will always doubt you. They'll always say some shit about you. They'll always say, like, oh, you're still doing that cringy ass shit on TikTok. They'll always say something. They'll always have something to say. And guess what? You notice how they're still living the exact same life and they haven't gotten out of their comfort zone? Like, that's where they're going to be left. Do you want to be out of your comfort zone and say, at least you could say you tried? Mm-hmm. Versus, like, saying that, like, oh, like, I wish that I made TikTok videos and all that other stuff. I blew up off of being dumb, just silly. Okay. I was having such a silly time. I was excited when I had 27 followers. Okay. I have 31,000. And it's still crazy to me that still 31,000 people want to like hear what I'm saying. Like, you know what I'm saying? 31,000 people are like, hey, yeah, like, I really like you so much. I'm going to follow you. And I'm just looking at it like, I'm so unserious. I don't even know what you're going to gain. But at least you can laugh like through
positivity,
it.
Good vibes. Yeah. That's what they're going to get. I think the thing is give yourself the credit. I think building a following like that on TikTok is phenomenal because it takes time, it takes consistency, and you should be proud of it, which I'm going to give you a follow after this because I'll be on TikTok. I'll be TikToking.
Thank you. I am the TikToker, okay? Like, I just be sitting there, like, making my little TikToks, like, guys, this is so funny, and then people be like, we'll make this one viral, and I'll be like, oh, okay.
That's the thing. I don't understand the damn algorithm. Like, it don't make sense to me at all.
Oh, my God. Okay. As a Black creator with this, like, fucking hate TikTok's algorithm. I fucking hate all algorithms, honestly. Because, except for YouTube. YouTube Shorts right now is key. Like, I have, like, 15,000 views on it. 16 right now. That I've had all time, but like I only started posting like not even a month and a half ago, like consistently. Mm-hmm. And I only have like 50 subscribers.
That's the hardest part, bro. Growing, because like I just had the conversation with Devon.
Like,
I said, dude, like it's so tiring because like I'll create the reel, then I post it on Instagram. Instagram's my main platform with how I promote this podcast. So I'll post it on Instagram. Then I post it on TikTok. At this point, like, I'm just tired. Like, I don't want to have to keep cutting. And like with YouTube specifically, like, it can't be longer than 60 seconds. So it's like you have to, like, if I have a good reel, I'm like, oh shit, I gotta cut this. And then it's just like, especially when you're doing a podcast and you're creating reels for a podcast, I'm not just gonna cut you off mid sentence. Like, oh yeah, eh. Oh, you know, like.
You know what I started doing with that? I was just like, you know what? Fuck it. I'm just going to make a part two video. Okay. And like, listen to what she says in the part two. Okay. And that's how like I generated views on like, you know, my longer videos. That's what I would do because I hate doing it too. Yeah. I just hit the like, oh my God, like you can't be serious. Like we got to 60 seconds and all right, just watch for the next one. And then, like, you know, watch for the next one. Now I got the next view. Like, you know, like, that's what it is. But also in the same exact breath, still going back to, I hate the algorithm and the fact that it's 60 seconds. I'm like, then you want me to upload it as a video. And then as a video, it doesn't get, like, any type of traction.
That's like, the thing. I think growing on YouTube, that's the one thing I'm pushing right now is because I want to get more followers. I want to get more views. And I was telling people, I was like, even if you don't love my podcast, you can support it by playing it in the background. You don't have to listen. Like, just play it in the background because those hours, like, those hours help. Just view hours and things of that nature. So play it in the background. You clean your house, put your laptop on. Walk away.
Yeah, like, baby, you can put me on mute. I don't care. Like,
I mean, you're missing out on you're missing out on great content if you're not actually listening. But if you want to just play it, go ahead.
That's what I'm saying, baby. If you just want to support me, and you know, you watch this episode for like, you know, three times, and you just want to support me, I'm down. I ain't gonna say no. You want me to say no?
I ain't mad about it.
Exactly. Like, baby, I ain't never mad. Okay. Like, same exact thing with, like, baby, go ahead and read them comments that I'm about to, like, put under here because read the caption. Now my video done played at least, like, 3 to 4 times. Now you can leave. They can leave. It's okay. You can leave now.
Peace.
But the 3 to 4 times, I need my 3 to 4 watches though before you do that. Every video on them reels, okay? Because, you know, when we start. Watch that full video.
That's why I feel like short videos help because they can play over and over and over again. Where if I have a minute and a half long video, I'm not gonna lie to you. A lot of people ain't gonna watch a minute and a half.
No.
I still post it anyways. I ain't gonna lie. I'm posting anyways.
Yeah, unless it's real juicy and it's like Reese Cecil. I didn't watch it. Like, I watched, like, somebody basically, like, interview. Well, not interview, but, like, somebody reacting to it. And then I was like, I can't lie to you. Like, love Risa. But baby, you kind of should have seen this coming. Like, it's just getting money out of nowhere, like, you know. But like, I understand, and I'm really happy that like things have worked out for her. But circling back to the first point of like the whole like, you know, kind of just trusting and just taking the steps. Had she not posted that on TikTok, she has an influencer deal off of that. She's an influencer now. She is signed to like one of the top influencer agencies. And do you know exactly what she did? All she did was tell you the story about this man, that this man was crazy and he did all this other stuff to her. And that's exactly what y'all did. Like, that's exactly what happened. Like, it went viral. Everybody talking about it. But if she was too scared to throw that on the internet, who knows what situation she would be in. But everything happens for a reason. And if you feel called to do it, and you feel called to create, and you feel called to do those things, I think that you should just do it. Like, personally, mm-hmm. I've been starting to work on music, and I have been running away from it. So, background. My dad's a producer. I love music. However, do you want to know what the last thing that I wanted to do was? Music. Why? Everybody and their mother is doing it. Everybody's doing it.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody. And like, you know, honestly, I'm really happy for that, because like, music is one of those art forms that like, it can be consumed at any time. It has,
it's
like
healing. There's a story behind it. It has a message. I think there, you can't go wrong with music.
You can't go wrong. You can be
I
in
mean,
a room.
You can. I mean,
you can.
I've heard some of them rappers.
Like JJ Fish. It's something about you, girl.
Have you ever had someone say like, oh yeah, check out my song, and then they play it for you
ass.
And you're like, ooh, I like that beat. But that's all I got.
Nah. See, and you know what? In those instances, I love people, and I will tell people like, "Don't like." I'm gonna pick it apart.
You'll be honest. You'll be brutal.
I'm too straightforward. I will tell you honestly, like, "Hey, I'm gonna be honest with you. That shit was ass." But I will help you rewrite it though, because like, I think that you had some good bars in there, and I like. My problem with some people is the fact that they'll tell you that your shit is ass, but won't tell you how to fix it. If you came to me and you said, hey, like, I don't think like your content is good. I think that you should fix it. I'm going to give you the tips and
suggestions
on how to fix it. Yeah, because like,
constructive criticism.
That's the constructive part. Okay. Now, again, like, because that was my whole thing. Like, I would sit there and like listen to people's music, and I'd be like, this shit is so ass. Oh my gosh, like,
that's,
you know,
so
what, if I made music it would be 10 times better than this. And I can't even lie, like, the first song that I made, I showed it to like a couple of people. They were like, yeah, actually this song is actually pretty fire, I like it. And I was like, thank you. I didn't know I could rap. I didn't know I was a rapper. I was just singing. I was supposed to just be singing. I was just rapping.
DJ on the beat.
Yeah, big days on the beat. You know, with me on the track, I'm just messing around at this point. I'm dead.
No, I think it's interesting, because I think music is a sense of creativity, and especially it allows you to tell stories and allows you to express your emotions in a different way. And I think that's the biggest thing about content creating. It's telling a story, and how do you express yourself? How do you want people to view you and things of that nature? And sometimes social media can be a sexy highlight reel. But there is some realness behind some people's stories. And I think that's the biggest thing is my advice to people who are trying to do content creating, don't lose sight on who you are just to fit other people's narrative. Like, continue to be you, because there's going to be people who are going to doubt you. There's going to be people who are going to talk shit about you. But if you can stay true to yourself, that's all that really matters. And it takes a thick skin. I think that's the biggest thing is I'm just now getting to a point where I can actually rewatch and listen to my own podcast episodes. Like, I've always been like this person where I was like, I don't like my voice. I don't like listening to my voice. I don't like hearing myself talk. But then as I've gotten older, I guess I should say,
I've been able to get to a point where I can listen to a podcast episode and I'm not as self-critical on how I sound, because I feel like you said earlier in this podcast, is like, we can only control kind of what we can control. Like, I can't control what other people are going to say about me. I can't control what other people are going to think about me. I can't control what people think about this podcast. I can't control those things. So the only thing I can't control is what I do and how I feel. And that's it, you know, control what you can control. And life seems a lot easier, but it's easier said than done.
Yeah. Yeah, it's definitely an easier said than done thing. And I would say, like, definitely my tips, like, for people that are like doing content, it's just more so like, make sure that, like, A, you're not niching yourself out. That's like the one thing that I feel like I see a lot of people do. And then they're like, I want to do other things, but I don't get any views when I do the other things. And it's like, dude, like, do what the fuck you want to do, because the people that are going to get it, they'll get it and they'll flock to you. And the people that aren't going to get it, they aren't the ones for you. So don't cater to the people that don't want you. Cater to people that like you. If the content that you want to make, and you already have those people saying like, hey, you know, I really love your content, continue doing that instead of worrying about what other people are going to say. Why do they matter? They're not paying your Wi-Fi bill. They're not paying your phone bill. They're not paying anything.
Your rent, nothing.
Nothing.
And I think the nothing. Thing is we can put ourselves in a box. And when we put ourselves in that box, we're limiting ourselves. Like, absolutely. I have a friend who built his entire brand off of thirst trapping. And he wanted to change it. And I'm like, that's what you started with. Like, you put yourself in this box. And I tell people, it's like, you can throw your thirst traps in there here and there, but don't solely be off of thirst traps. Like, if you want to expand eventually, you're going to lose a lot of followers because you got those thirsty people who are like,
to thirst trap at the same time.
But, like, you know what I mean, though? It's like you're putting yourself in that box where it's just like, if you wanted to branch off and do something different, your whole audience is based off of your thirst traps, not your actual content you want to produce. So I think that's the thing, is have a variety of content.
Yeah.
Unless you're like very solely specific and it's like, I'm a musician, so my content's going to be music, or I'm a gamer and my content's going to be that. But if you're just a content creator, have multiple like niches. Like, if it's pranks, that's one thing you're doing, or if it's like vlogs, that's another thing you can do. Just don't put yourself in that box where you get stuck and it's just like, this is what I have to do, because social media is tiring and exhausting and it's ever changing, and once you're stuck, you're kind of stuck.
You're so stuck. Like, it doesn't matter, like, what amount of rebranding you do. Like, for example, I blew up off of, like, making dark jokes on the internet. I don't care. They were hilarious, okay? And it was just,
dark,
like,
humor.
Dark humor. I'm too good at it. That's the problem. The problem is I'm so good at it, and I'm like, other people find me funny, and I'm like, guys, like, this is not good for the brand. I can't be doing this. So then I was like, I had to rebrand. And like, right now, like, I'm in the process of finding what my new thing is going to be. Mm-hmm. I tried like gym vlogs. They're cool. They're fun to make. However, like, some people are like, Deja, you still be making dark jokes in that. And I'm like, I don't know. I feel like at this point,
that's just a part of who you are. You can't take that.
Like, girl, like, every single time I do this hip abduction machine, I'm always like, and you're busting it open, because that's what it feels like I'm doing. Okay, that's what it feels like I'm doing to my glutes right now. Oh my God. So, like, you know, I can't ever help, like, I can't help myself. I'm just too, like.
You're too unserious.
My mind. I'm way too unserious. I'm like, am I ever going to be serious? Probably not.
But that's
I don't care.
That's not a problem, though. I think that brings personality to videos, and it shows people an inside of who you are as a person. And I think that's the biggest thing, especially on social media, is you want people to have an idea of who you are. And I think that's the most important thing. So don't change it. Just find ways to incorporate it, whether it's like, it's not solely on dark humor, but if you can throw in like a joke here or there, that keeps your audience engaged, but also allows you to go down that new avenue you want to go down.
Right. See, you over here giving me tips. Ooh, I'm supposed to be giving people tips.
So I want to go on to my favorite segment of this entire podcast. So my question for you, we've already talked about mental health a lot, but my question for you is just, how have you been taking care of yourself mentally recently?
Recently, I've been doing the thing. So the thing is traveling. So I've been traveling a lot. I'm outside, okay? And what's so wild is I'm more outside. I have a boyfriend. Guys, I wasn't supposed to admit that, but it is what it is. I have a boyfriend. And he lives out in Miami. But I have just been basically just traveling to go see him, but really allowing myself to be present in my relationships, working out, you know, always makes me feel like I'm like the best version of myself. I feel like so much stronger, so much healthier. Also, I'll be feeling like that girl because listen, I'll be in the gym. I don't be in the gym for nobody else but the hoes, okay? Because the hoes love it, bitches. Okay.
I'm dead.
And that's what I do it for. I do it for the girls and the gays. Okay. That is who I'm
weak right now.
Okay. That's what I wanted to say. Okay. That's what I've been doing to take care of my mental health is just like recognizing like every single day that I wake up, like appreciating the fact that I'm breathing air. And then also looking into the mirror and being like, damn, you are so sexy. You know, sometimes you just got to like look at yourself and say like, I'm sexy here, but I'm also sexy here. Like I am just an amazing person. Affirmations.
Mm-hmm.
That's really what it is. Cause like trying to like take care of your mental health, like as I was saying before, it's always about like, listen, none of that shit fazes me. Like y'all want to be negative and that's okay. Like I understand that I got to experience the negatives of life to love the positives and appreciate them, but I ain't about to stand for it. So I always just taking life so unseriously, but also at the exact same time, you know, live, laugh, and loving as much as I can.
Not the cliche live, laugh, and love.
I have to.
No, I feel you. I think it's interesting how everyone talks about the ways they cope and deal with their mental health. And I'm proud of you for traveling. Travel while you're young. I wish I could travel, but I'm broke as hell. So I can't afford that. It's not in the budget.
Listen. Did I ever say it was in the budget? I just said I was doing it.
True. You did not, but I can't go in that debt anymore. Like I got student loans. I'm moving soon. So like I just, man. I don't got
it. Where are you moving to?
I'll tell you offline.
Okay, period. I am thinking about also moving out of state too. And that's the reason why I'm like, oh my gosh.
I'm not moving out of state, but I'm moving.
You're not moving out of state.
I'm okay. Moving like locations. But I don't want people.
I know. I'm aware. You don't. I had like 3 stalkers in my day. It's okay. I'm good. I know. I don't even post like my house like that I stay in. Like no form of reference, frame of reference of where I stay. Like I don't care if you know. Like I'm in Cincy, whatever. But exactly where I'm at. Good
You'll
luck,
never
Charlie.
Know.
Good luck, Charlie. No, I'm not having you are not coming to my house. But no, like I'm currently trying to focus and shift on like, let's move out of state because I love Cincinnati, but like I'm ready for like a bigger city.
Something new.
Yeah.
I think that's the thing. Sometimes we outgrow where we're at. And I don't think I'll ever move away from Northern Kentucky. I love it here. Mm-hmm. I love the people. I love the community. I love the job I have. I love being able to make a difference in the youth that I work with. So it's like one of those things where people are like, would you ever move away? I'm not opposed to it, but I don't see it happening anytime soon. I'm never going to say never because you never know what can happen in life, whether it's finding a job or whatever it may be. But I feel like where I'm at, like I'm happy with where I'm at right now. So I'm not going to, I'm not going to do anything to really change it. So
I love it. Cause hey, listen, like that's like really what a lot of your life is supposed to be is like finding where you fit in, where you like, if you feel fulfilled, like, who's to tell you you need to leave? Like, that's the only reason, like, if I found fulfillment here, I would stay here. I love Cincinnati. But, like, I'm not finding that fulfillment here because I'm like, I want different things. Like, for example, admitting, going back to that second question real quick, because, like, that content creator thing, admit that you actually want to be famous. That's the thing that you have to say. Because I feel like a lot of people are like, oh, like, that's so conceited. I want to be famous, okay? So because of that, I don't want my face on TV. I got to move somewhere else. I can't be here.
Hey, just remember me in this podcast when you blow up,
okay? Of course. Listen. When I get to where I'm going, I'm going to shout you out, okay? And I'm going to be like, hey, listen.
Much love.
Yeah, I'm going to be like, hey, listen, y'all. So I was on this podcast and, like, fucking my dude, no, Austin.
We bringing you
because,
back.
Like, yeah. Oh,
what you mean?
Oh, as you should.
We're gonna have a Where Are They Now episode. What you mean?
I can't wait for my little Where Are They Now episode. Okay.
I had a whole season dedicated to Where Are They Now. So it's definitely something I'm incorporating in the future, but you gotta give it a year or two. I'm gonna give you a year or two.
Yeah, give me a year too. Oh yeah. See where you're at. Yeah. Oh yeah. No, I'm gonna be in there though.
Hey, we taking off.
To the moon.
Nah, but I appreciate you, and I appreciate you taking the time out of your day. I know we scheduled this pretty quickly, so I do appreciate that.
Of course.
If anyone wants to continue having a conversation with you about anything that we discussed today, what would be the best way for them to get a hold of you?
Hit me up on TikTok. No, don't hit me up on TikTok. I do not see anything. Instagram. I meant Instagram. That's what I actually meant. Instagram, Vice Shawty, VICESHAWTY. If you just want to, like, sit down and chat and talk. So, you know, really exciting to talk
to
you.
I'm going to say this right now. You're a content creator.
Yeah.
Give us your socials. What you mean?
Oh, I'm sorry. TikTok, Instagram, everything's the same, actually. So TikTok, Instagram. I also stream on Twitch. I stream, like, Call of Duty and Fortnite. Because I just be having too much time on my hands.
She's
sometimes.
A gamer.
I'm a gamer, okay? And I'm actually good at it, okay? So, like, but in that last stream hold me, though. But, bye, Shawty. It's all Vice Shawty, VICESHAWTY on all platforms, except for Pinterest, because I'm not on Pinterest, or Tumblr. There you go.
I'm dead. Again, I just want to say thank you. And before we head out of here, I want to ask you one last thing.
What's that?
What is one positive message you want to leave people with today?
Lead with love and not fear. Fear will hold you captive to the things that you know, but love will open doors that you never knew existed.
Ooh. Okay. Thank you. I appreciate you. Deja, I appreciate you. And I just want to say thank you all for tuning in. I'm going to put all of Deja's information in the description below. If you all happen to reach out to her, please just make sure you note on how you found her. It'll be greatly appreciated. Also, do not forget to give us a follow on all social media platforms. It's at Ignite Your Why. That's INGYTE, not with an I. And if you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you hit that like button, hit that subscribe button, turn the post notifications on.
Yeah, turn them post notifications on, hit that subscribe button, you know, and turn on notifications so you can get notified about his videos too. Don't worry.
Deja knew what I was trying to say. But again, thank you all for tuning in. And always remember, find your purpose, ignite your why, and I'll holler at you guys later. Peace. I'm dead.